Yo, Aaron here. I want to give a huge shout out to all of my day one listeners. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Opening Presence and tune into these engaging, connected, inspiring conversations. So I got a couple asks. First thing is to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Our goal is to get to as many people as possible, and you guys play a huge part in that, and I'd appreciate that greatly. The second thing is, I want to hear from you. I want to know who's listening, where you're from, what your name is, what you're excited about, and maybe some of the things that you're getting from the show, so we know what's landing and what can be changed or whatever. But mostly, I just want to say what up, and I want to hear your voice. But to leave a voicemail, you can go to anchor.fm/openingpresence. Once again, anchor.fm/openingpresence. I appreciate you all. We've got another dope episode lined up for you. And without further ado, welcome to Opening Presence, the podcast about creative self-realization. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I sit down with Dylan Santos Green. He's a creative director and designer who I met while he was living in Portland, but recently he found a new home in Dallas, Texas. In this conversation, we discuss the creative process and how it can be influenced by our lifestyle. Also, we dive into the illogical tendencies of woke culture and finding connection in a distracted world. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, without further ado, welcome to Opening Presence. Boom, we are live. Welcome to Opening Presence. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining us today for Dallas Part 2. Today I'm joined by Dylan Santos Green.
You got it.
Is it do you go by all three?
Yeah.
Okay, that's absolutely. Pretty lit. That's pretty lit.
It's my mom's last name and my dad's last name.
Mm. That's nice. Equality.
Equality. I identify with my mom's family so much more. Mm-hmm. Mad love for my dad's family, but my dad's 100% white. Very, very white, and his family also is. And growing up physically looking like an Asian male,
mm-hmm.
my mom's family, which is an amalgamation of different Asians, amalgamation, if you will, I just felt physically more in touch with them. And, you know, I feel like in getting my mom's maiden name in as my middle name, I'm like they both got to be in there.
That's awesome. I find that like consistently, like I have a friend that I grew up with whose father is German and his mm-hmm. mother is Japanese, but his last name is Saisho.
Oh.
But it's like they just took the mother's name because he it's much cooler. I don't know what
better.
The food's much better. But yeah, I don't know like what that is. I see that quite often though, like when the kid has more like outwardly expresses Asian ethnicity, and it's just like, all right, like let's just use that.
I think a lot of times mothers pass their genetics to their son.
Mm-hmm.
My sister looks way more Caucasian than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's like fathers to daughters, mothers to sons kind of thing.
It's possible.
But what's interesting is I think that objectively, as much as it pains me to say, I think that a lot of my personality traits fall more within my father's, like the way his behaviors are,
mm-hmm.
For better or for worse. So I got an interesting blend. Mm-hmm. Also, my cat is just loving on you, dude.
Yeah, he's all over me
this
now.
This is unique. Maybe he's just really into Nike Blazers. It's a good shoe.
Yeah, I've been kicking it with dachshunds for the last like couple of days. So
Kumo is pretty much a dachshund. Look at this guy go.
No, he's handsome too, though. You have a very good looking cat.
At the beginning of COVID, I made a video of him that went viral on TikTok. And for whatever reason, a lot of people were saying that he not only looks like a person, but were comparing him to Adam Driver.
Who's that?
He's the guy in Marriage Story with Scarlett Johansson. Also Star Wars, Kylo Ren.
Yeah, I have bad movie recall. Like, no, it has to be like an absolute classic by like, it has to be like, oh, you know Samuel L. Jackson? I'm like, yeah, I know who that is.
Yo, did you watch House of Gucci?
No, I heard it was horrible.
Depends.
I heard
on
it was just
ask.
Like corny.
It had its moments. At any rate, Adam Driver's in it.
Uh-huh.
And he's the dude with like the ridiculously big nose. He's got a great story. He was in the military before even touching acting. And then,
oh, I know the dude that was in like the Star Wars stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Super Kylo disciplined, Ren. Like yeah. looking dude. I saw like a round table discussion with him and like Robert De Niro and Shia LaBeouf.
Yes. And that was a good conversation.
Jamie Foxx and stuff.
That was a good table.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love like the behind the scenes of just like top of their class. Cause yeah. then it's like you realize it's like, no, they have like normal processes.
Yeah,
sustained over time. I just like love hearing like, I think people or society props up these people that have just exhibited consistency and passion over a long period of time. But mm-hmm. it's like we feel like we're not capable of doing the things that they've done.
Yeah, well, it's also so abstractified, right? Like when it comes to like celebrities, actors, musicians, pop artists. We know them for their fame, but we don't know them a lot of times for their process
mm-hmm.
or what allows them to do what they do so well. And I think that over the past 5-ish years with the advent of podcasts and also just being folks being more transparent because of like social media and their ways to connect with fans, like we get to learn more about these people.
Mm-hmm.
And an interesting contrast to continue the kind of like actor realm is like, I'm a big fan of Robert Pattinson and I'm a big fan of Willem Dafoe. They both starred in The Lighthouse a couple years ago, which is an absurd movie by a really incredible director. It's his second movie he ever made. But those two actors are on the complete different end of the spectrum. Willem Dafoe is a lifetime like theater performance driven actor who will do 1,000 takes before he's comfortable with the outcome. Robert Pattinson doesn't even want to do a script reading before a scene.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to do it fresh and he wants it to be like right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like learning about those processes and I think being able to separate myself from them and not thinking like I need to embody that to be like them,
yeah.
but also just being like, wow, so that's how they do that stuff.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Finding like our own method. And I think it takes a lot of like guessing and checking, but for whatever reason, whenever we land on something, we feel like it's not worthy or it's not the way of going about it. I've gone through like many phases of just like, oh, but it's not like someone else's process. And over the last number of years, I've been able to like truly embrace what my unique process is. And mm-hmm. a lot of the times, like we were just in your backyard and this like speaking about like being more of like a visceral creative, like being able to like stand up and walk around outside and like letting ideas just come and go and like moving the body and how like that kind of becomes a part of the process. I think developing like a holistic lifestyle where like going to the gym and being active and being conscious of what I'm putting in my body, at least like outside of this week when I've been eating coffee cake and danishes and cheesecake and burgers and shit. But like
that's
outside of that, it's like it all kind of goes into the creative method to create what my output currently is and staying in that zone where it doesn't feel like I'm efforting creativity. It just happens. Like I like realize it's like, oh, over the last 2 years, I've consistently put out things that I've made mm-hmm. without thinking of like, oh, like it doesn't look like that person's over there and like, or anything like that. It's just like a creative process that is kind of, I think it's just like a part of my life at this point.
Yeah.
And I think it's, to those people, it's like, oh, it's just like a part of their life. But like, how much do we commit to those things? And like, what do we want out of our creativity? Do we want it to just like be a thing that we do? Or do we want it to support us? Like, you know?
Yeah, I've always thought about process in, or even just like my life and my own self in two different ways. The first way, and this is dating back to like when I was like 15, 16 years old. The first way is that creative process and process in general is like going down a stream and you'll stop off at certain areas. And when you stop off at these different areas, there's different resources available at that spot. And some of those resources may fulfill different parts of yourself, but that's where you're at then. but you also have to remember you got to get back in the boat and keep going down the stream.
Mm-hmm.
So it can change over time, right? And you may come to appreciate certain resources on one stop that you'll yearn for in the next stop and hope that you can find those later on down the stream. The other less, maybe slightly less metaphorical example is this balance in my life. And it's, I know that sometimes the balance, where the fulcrum is will shift. So I'll lean in one way mm-hmm. where it's like, maybe the food intake that I have isn't exactly what I want. But as long as I know that that fulcrum needs to shift in order for it to be more balanced, then I'm comfortable in knowing that I can implement that mm-hmm. next week or the next go around. And it always, for me, starts with more or less like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like, I need good food. I need to be hydrated. I gotta sleep. And I need exercise. Like, those four things will very, very frequently be out of sync for my life and my own personal self. But at least if I know where I want them to be, I can slide back over there.
Yeah.
You know, when you travel a lot for work, when you've work weird hours that are kind of up to you, sometimes things get a little out of whack. But mm-hmm. as long as I know how to get back to where I want to be,
yeah,
that ensures that my process can still keep going down that stream.
Most definitely. I think that's how you create longevity too. It's like,
I hope so.
Yeah, no, I think like that's why I'm such a proponent on like Mondays are like the best in the world, because you could start like every single week there's already like in the calendar, or just like how Western society has evolved, it's like Monday is like the start of a new week. And to be able to like go off track, like you could stay on track on Mondays, but you can kind of veer off track, whether that's like, oh, I missed my workout, or I like wasn't productive at work, or I had like creative blocks or whatever. And then like Monday comes back around. And I even look at it like Sunday night is like, all right, like being aware of like what happened this last week and what can I do this next week that's going to put me on the right track. Mm-hmm. And it's just like trying new things out every single week. And it's like, all right, like Sunday night, like I'm going to meditate before I go to bed, and I'm going to wake up, set my alarm at this time. And it's just like, I don't know, refreshing to not carry over like maybe our fuck ups or maybe expectations that we have for ourselves. Like, oh, we didn't do so well this one week. We can let go. Like, yeah, completely letting go of the person that we were last week or the person that we were last year, or like we drank too much alcohol and it's like, you know what, like I'm going to go sober on Monday. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh shit, you fuck up and drink on Thursday, I'm going to be sober on Monday. And you just keep on like, yeah, we like coming back to that place to start over. And I've found that launching off point and just always having the availability to just try it again and again and again until you're in flight for hours and hours.
Sure.
I that's the example I always get. It's like you're on the tarmac and it's like the Wright brothers, like first flight was like half a second. Like they got off the ground, came right back down. And then like over time, it's like, all right, we got 15 feet, yeah, feet. And then it became 50 and then 500 feet until the plane was in flight for hours and hours and hours. But it's like allowing ourselves to keep coming back to that takeoff point, yeah, and then like without the judgment on the other side of it.
Thomas Edison didn't get it right until the 1,001 light bulb.
Yeah, and all the other people that were in the collective unconscious that were doing it at the same time that didn't get highlighted.
Yeah, so, okay, I have a question about that then. So that's an amazing practice that you just described. And you obviously take on a whole lot of other really incredible practices that you share with other people. Where do those ideas come from, those practices come from? Because for me, the way I have operated as an individual, I wouldn't say is the best way. I usually put in these kinds of practices after I've like hit rock bottom and then burrowed deeper. And then I'm like, okay, I really got to make a change mm-hmm. now. I think that's also a symptom of being like, you know, a single male who like ingrained in me is like that kind of like machismo, like I got to just hammer through this
mm-hmm.
until it's like, okay, I really got to take a look here. So like, where does that like come in for you? It's like, what is the point when you're like, it's time to learn something new or implement something like that?
I think assessing like what is needed of me. And I think I've had misconstrued understanding of like what my role is in the world, and not really asking myself like how I want to go about things and how I want to go about living. Like I enjoy, like, I think similar to yourself, is just like in this space is just like ease and order and just having the things that the way that you want them to be. And I like, yeah, I like a container, a structure, but I also like a level of freedom along this path. And how do you create that? Like, how do you create the, like, the structures that that we can kind of like have a little bit of discipline, but at the end of the day, I'm just like out here just trying to piece it all together. Yeah. Like, there's no one guiding it, and I think just allowing ourselves to just like try things, and I think there's enough evidence out in the world of people that aren't doing it the way that we're envious of.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's in, and we're always trying to like figure out like, oh, how do we copy someone else's or whatever.
So something that I ruminate on a lot, and I think we actually talked about this a little bit on the drive over, is our generation, the way that we were raised, which obviously there's a few different methods in which that happened, but you know, our environment growing up, the activities that we participated in, the education that we were exposed, subjected to, and then like what that's resulted in terms of us now being adults. There's no turning back, you know, how we go about learning things for the first time as adults, how we go about maybe retraining ourselves on certain things or ensuring that we're continuing to learn and educate ourselves, because we live in such a quickly changing world. And there's one thing to be adaptable, but there's one thing to actually understand what it is that you're adapting to and learning. Mm. And kind of like what I alluded to, like I was super lucky to grow up with really cool parents and a super dope sister. And we had space, we had a farm, we were homeschooled. And I had a lot of opportunity to be pretty independent and try out a lot of weird, different creative things without like, you got an F on that.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like I, in some regards in my life, have been able to observe the behaviors of our generation and be a little bit outside of that. But as a part of the greater consciousness, I'm also subjected to it as well. So I think that it's just like an interesting thing to contemplate as we are now young adults, and like, how do we continue to thrive and prosper, or how do we get closer to thriving and prospering? Because I'm not sure that we entirely are.
Yeah, I think in your case, and like being grateful for like that experience, because not a lot of people like have like grew up on a farm, as you were telling me in the car, and
yeah,
it's like to deal with like animals with consciousness and being responsible for like the livelihood of like a community.
Yeah.
Like of beasts.
Oh, community of beasts was my name of my childhood.
Yeah, but I think like all we can do is like recognize like what we've been blessed with, the gifts and talents that we've been blessed with to affect the lives of others by like living by example. But as far as like, I think like all the effects on society currently, it's like, it's an unquantifiable thing. And it's like, there is no roadmap. I think we are all outsourcing, or at least like a lot of us, a lot of people are afraid, and we're outsourcing like direction towards something outside of us, which we're like looking for, like, oh, like, where's my daddy, the president, like, like looking towards community, and everyone's looking outside, like, all right, where can I identify with like people who are on the same page as me? And everyone's looking for just like a resonant like
validation,
like a figure that's gonna like lead the way, when all of those answers are inside of us. Like,
you sit
in silence long enough, and you just, on any issue in the world, like a subject that you have no business, like you've never studied or anything, and just allowing like the intelligence that is like human being, like our consciousness, and pulling from all of our like faculties, like not just like our senses, but our intuition, our the knowledge in our heart, like, and learning to listen to the body, which is something that we are completely like cut off from, whether that's like the poisonous food that they're putting in us, the pharmaceuticals that they're numbing our senses. But like, if we sit with ourselves, maybe fast a little bit, and really tap into like the awareness that we have, this holistic sense of awareness that we have, but it's like like asking ourselves, it's like, what is the meaning of life?
Mm-hmm.
And if you sit with yourself long enough and you just don't have the ego come in and like, oh, it's about like getting as many women as possible and throwing money in the club. Like, you know that that's not it.
Yeah.
So sit longer and longer and longer until a real answer arises.
Yeah.
Like what's like, it's love, loving my family, like loving my kids, loving like community, being of service. Like those are the things that naturally arise as solutions to these problems.
Absolutely.
And we stop hyper focusing on the actual like smoke screen. Like the problem is that we're not connected to ourselves, and we like that disconnection is expressed out into the world as violence, and it's all violence against self.
Sure. Well, because all humans are like one self.
Mm-hmm.
We are in so many ways the same no matter where you go. And to be so condemning of each other over things that we've more or less created and then committed ourselves to without any real reason is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you also mentioned like that the whole idea of like when you can sit with yourself and you start allowing just like the visceral human to start within you to start answering some of those big questions and the centering around love. I think it's to be able to accept love and to be able to share love is like super critical. And I think that there's this really interesting distinction that was made to me a few years ago, the disconnect between sympathy and empathy.
Mm.
I think it was being talked about when a lot of people were doing the thoughts and prayers posts on social media and how that's like sympathy, but it's not true empathy.
Yeah.
And I think that there's so much sympathy expressed in the world, which has, in my eyes, two results. The person who's expressing it inevitably feels hollow because they're not actually doing anything. And the person who's supposedly on the receiving end also feels hollow because they're not actually getting anything out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we only, as individuals, have such a capacity for truly expressing compassion and empathy and then being able to act and behave on it. And I think it's so important to understand one's own capacity to be able to share that. And I think that there's a lot of people that can't actually share it.
Yeah.
And they're compensating by just, you know, blasting all this sympathy as far out as they can to receive that validation that they need that was ingrained in them when they sat in a classroom in front of a teacher who was telling them what their value was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this all is to say that we find ourselves in this era that is like so concerning to me. And I'm just like, how do we kind of get back to like this base level? And I love what you're doing and like observing your own growth and trajectory since we became buddies about over three years ago now, and how you've really centered yourself around values that mean something to you, but also provide so much value for others objectively, which is a beautiful thing. And the whole idea of getting back to the self, being responsible for yourself, but also like, you know, watering your own grass, so to speak, is like, is a huge thing. And I think a lot of people need to hear more of that, you know?
Yeah. And thank you for those words. I think on the topic of like empathy, and I think there's a fear to express empathy because you have to open yourself up. And I think there's the fear of like, oh, like if I express empathy, that means I have to give something. And then like that same thing that's happened to that other person, there's an opening for that to happen to me. And I think that's like the part of it. I'm just like, yo, like you're safe. You're fine. Like you're not giving up anything of yourself besides like actual, like something tangible, like love or care or attention. And I think when we operate in an empathetic place, it's like we're serving one another to like our highest like capacity. Like sympathy is just like, I don't know. It's just, I don't even know what it is actually. It's kind of just like we're talking about before, is just like when everyone's looking for validation for their own fears, it's like, oh, like I agree, that is shitty. And it's just like, what? Like we're in agreement that this was a bad thing.
Yeah.
All right. How are we going to move past this this bad thing, or at least just past the stage of just labeling things this or that without nuance.
Yeah.
And allowing situations to evolve over time. I think that's something that I've been frustrated about lately, is this, like, I think you were saying, like, we're so committed to things even after the fact that it's like the situation's changed, but we're so committed to stand on the same ground.
Yeah.
And it's just like the death of nuance is like something that's just like baffling me, because it's like we're committed to narratives and stories and information that is proven to be wrong
and
now.
So toxic.
And it's like
it's so I have like an interesting perspective on this, because in 2015 I went to school for journalism, and I think that what you just described is because of journalism. Because of the way that the media is now, you know, dropping these like bombs of information in these social circles. And when they drop, that is reality. There's no like reading between the lines. It's just like, that is reality. And when I was in school, 2015, so like six, seven years ago, it was right before like the major advent of like social media becoming all encompassing of everything. We were still talking about like making a Facebook post back then, and that was like a hot commodity. There wasn't like the full adoption of these major platforms at that point, and we still talked about integrity in journalism. We still talked about the commitment to, you know, to share the truth and nothing but the truth, and to give people objective viewpoints in which they can understand the world around them. And we've left that. Like, we got on a
bye-bye
jet and went as far away from that as possible.
Yeah.
And now that's, and what it's doing is it's affecting us on a social level, and the way that we perceive the world, ourselves, our neighbors, our friends, our enemies. And it's like this, like you said, the death of nuance, right? We're not thinking about it holistically. It's just, oh, what I heard, what I read, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten to the point where it's like, I mean, I've had with them in my own family, like these really, really dramatic, like almost like warring tensions over topics. And I'm like, why are we even talking about this? Like, let's actually take a step back and remember that we're a family, and our love for each other is so much more important than this. It is way bigger than any of this, right?
Yeah.
Because that's our world. And I think that a lot of these abstract issues, which many of them may have at their core some really bad stuff to them, I don't think that it really needs to be on everyone's radar.
Sure. But it's like, there's like a fine line between like, obviously like being aware of all like the bullshit like that's in the media, but then just becoming apathetic to everything. Just like, I don't give a fuck. It doesn't fucking matter, like, type of stuff. And like, where's that? Like, that starts to creep in after a while. And and a lot of the times, like, those info bombs are hitting on an issue, but they're just missing the point completely. It's like, it's a smokescreen to hide the fact that these people are doing nefarious things over here, but let's just throw some, like, even like the Joe Rogan thing. It's like, it started about misinformation about like vaccine stuff, but it's like, in, if we're going to have like an idea, open like economy, like where like everyone's ideas are considered, and then we weed out the trash. But it's like, if there's only like sanctioned ideas being like brought to the table, and then we're going to attack anything else that comes up, or why are you attacking it? If it's bullshit, like, are you, because you care so much about people's safety that these ideas are dangerous?
Yeah.
Oh, that means you, like, people can't make decisions on their own. And like, where, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, oh, like, it doesn't matter anymore. And it's like the, every single industry, every single, it depends on like, what do you want to put your attention on? Like the war in Afghanistan that is no longer, it's like,
it's not popular.
And it's
anymore.
Like, we don't get to choose what's on the news screen. It's like, it just pops up, and it's like, Was I interested in this before they decided for me to share this with me? Because I wasn't searching that out, but now I have to consider and have an opinion on it.
Sure.
You don't have to have an opinion on everything.
I do think that it's a difficult thing to navigate for everybody, but I think what you just described is huge, dude. Like, the amount of people that I've seen over the past 2 years become pros at certain topics.
Yeah.
And like the like they're the ones who are the most knowledgeable over this certain thing. I'm like, dude, you were like not even, this wasn't even slightly on your radar 13 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And now you know everything about it.
Like, yeah.
You don't have to know everything about it. And I think that that goes back to what we were talking about of like seeking out who you really are at your core, is because for the people who I think have found value within themselves, or at least have an idea of what that value may be and are seeking it out, that's more important to them.
Yeah, way more important.
And I think that what we've seen over the past couple of years is that a lot of people don't have any sense of self-worth, and they haven't been able to identify any value within themselves, which is extremely sad, and it's a huge bummer. And they don't need to act like they are super aware of, you know, what's right for everybody in the world, because it's like, dude, that is super not like your thing. And also, there's no reason that you would be the authority on that topic.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
be good at what you do, and like, not at, like, we don't all have to be like professional advocates for everybody else.
Yeah, most definitely.
Be an advocate for yourself and like be healthy, get your shit done.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. And I remember, like, I think it was like a couple of years ago, like at one of the elections, I think it may have been. I don't forget which election, they're all the same. But like
all
somebody,
nightmare scenarios.
It was like back when I was like arguing on Facebook with people, and like somebody brought up, it was like, this is the resurgence of McCarthyism. I'm like, what the fuck is the resurgence of McCarthyism? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
This term that was used on the news one time, and we're just like spewing it out there, and it's like allowing things to change over time. It's like playing this game of teams. It's like, what is important in your life?
Yeah.
Like, stop worrying about, we were talking about, like, what was the thing that you said? Like, worrying about,
Fixing your bed, dude.
Yeah. Fix your bed, fix your own bed.
Yeah. Just freaking deal with like what you got, like brush your teeth.
Yeah.
don't tell someone else that their breath smells if you haven't brushed your teeth.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that there's been a lot of that going on. And I do think, like, in some kind of like dark comedic sense, it's been pretty impressive to see how many people have like become highly interested in like all these topics that weren't really discussed.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think it's like proof of something. And I sometimes wonder why we aren't able, as like individuals, but also a society, to be able to take a step back and be like, what's happening here? Let's talk about that. You know?
Yeah, there's an avoidance of it all, though. It's like, I posted some things on like my Instagram stories, and like that were, I guess it's like, would be controversial, but I was
sure.
Just
you're like, I'm shaving my head. I'm a rogue. I love Joe Rogan. I'm shaving my head.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. But it's just like, I posted some stuff just about like Oregon moving their mask mandate from February 8th that was like clarified, and then like arbitrarily deciding to push it back to the end of March, but they didn't explain why. And I just put out like, hey, like, do you guys, one, did you even know that the mask mandate was supposed to end on February 8th? Nobody had a clue that it was actually. So how are you going to have an opinion on something that you weren't even knowledgeable on, outside of the fact that you had just accepted that whatever they decide to do, you're on board with, because they've positioned themselves as this pro health authority of sorts. Like, we're going to make the decisions in disregard whatever science is out there that proves to the fact we're not in the same place that we are that when it started. And I posted that, and like as Portland is, like,
people,
everyone,
want to
people want to like hit my DMs and be like, oh, well, actually, blah 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 blah, and then like they want me to clarify, and like, I'll clarify, like, I said exactly what I said, but you want me to like, I don't, are you sure you said what you mean what you say?
Yeah,
and I'm like, no,
step
no, I mean exactly what I said. And then like, they won't respond. So it's like the conversation ends right there. It's like, there was an opening, like, you obviously felt the need to reach out to me because you didn't, because what I said created like an emotional reaction within you that you felt that you wanted to reach out to me and like say like, oh, you could have done it in a different way. I'm just like, but we're not talking about the issue that I brought up. Like, we're doing everything besides talking about the thing. It's basically, did you know that this thing was supposed to end on February 8th? And why did you not know?
Yeah.
Why did you not know that this thing that's affecting everybody's lives and it's being different, handled in different ways in different states, but it's the same issue? Why is it being handled differently in different places?
Yeah. I mean, dude, like I was saying to you earlier, when I moved to Dallas, Texas, the Dallas State Fair was happening. Millions of people congregate and having a good old time. Meanwhile, in Washington State, they were required to wear masks outside. And it's like, it's the same issue, and it's being handled in differently in different areas. And I'm like, I don't know. It just seems like the person who reached out to you, or the people who did, the people who want to die on this hill, it's more about them condemning you for what you said than like finding a real solution or something that like works out for both of you. And I think that that's like what you said when there's like that opening. I think that's a good way of phrasing it, because to me, it is an opening. It's an opening to have a dialogue and to understand each other, and then to come to some sort of, hopefully, conclusion where at the very least, you can agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very best, one of you might change your mind and have learned something.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's come down to today is, it's just, unfortunately, we're in this social media sphere when a lot of these things take place. And because the body language and the physicality of being in the same space has been removed, a lot of that actual empathy is also pulled away with it. Right before I moved to Portland, I had an interesting experience of running a political campaign for a mayoral candidate in a, you know, predominantly liberal community, for a candidate who is running a staunchly independent platform. And the concept of the platform was that we're not trying to pick solutions based on party. We're trying to pick solutions based on what this community needs. And it's going to take a lot more effort, because what it's going to require us to do is, at its base, bring people together to find those openings, to find those social openings of saying, here's the issue. You think this, you think this. Does one work better than the other, or maybe does a combination of the both work even better?
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of the campaign was that I saw people who were far on the right and the left show up at events together and have open conversations together and smile and laugh and eat food together and discuss ideas. We inevitably lost, because the status quo won, which is the way it is in politics almost always. But there was a beauty in the moments when I saw those people from who would consider themselves very, very different in the way that they politically identify. But what they realized is, oh, my home is actually more important than like
yes!
that identity, right?
Yes.
And if we're actually going to talk about the solutions that we need here in the areas where it's important, then people are more willing to make compromise. And they're more willing to say, oh, like, you know, long term, that is a way better idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think, like, for me, like, I always, like, I'm expansive in my goals. You know me, like, I try to, like, go for the stars always. And at the end of the day, though, I have to remind myself to, like, localize my efforts in some degree. Because I think that, it's kind of like what you're talking about with making a website. It's like taking care of those things that you got to take care of that are going to allow the other things to happen.
Yeah.
Is crazy important. And I think that so many of us right now are wrapped up in throwing sympathy at things that aren't actually impacting us directly.
Mm.
And then we're left hollow with mm-hmm. nothing. Because even when those things get sorted out, what does it actually mean to you? That whole, like, the thing that was happening in Palestine that was a hot topic. Dude, Portland was all up in arms about that.
Mm-hmm.
If they solved that, right? Let's say that that whole situation was totally, which it's never going to be 3,000 years from now, the same thing will be happening. All those people who were really concerned about it are still going to feel bummed out about something else.
Yeah.
Because they never needed the solution in Palestine. They were looking for something, a solution for themselves. And they just tossed their pain into a vehicle abstractified, because they didn't want to actually take responsibility over what they need to do to improve, right?
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's that sympathy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Portland's really good at that. And I think, like, the word distraction, it's like you're juggling. It's like a lot of us, like, are good just throwing one little ball up and down. It's like keeping things as simple as that. It's like our health, our wellness, our relationships. And mm-hmm. then sometimes if we want to throw like another ball in there, it's like our career and our impact. And it's like, all right, we're just juggling these two balls. And then love may enter the equation. And now we're just doing like a standard juggling system. And it's like, for a lot of people, like that's all that it ever needs to be.
Sure.
And in this like social media age, it's like, there's always like a new added ball. And yeah. it's like, we become like professional jugglers. Like we all belong in the circus out here, like hopping on a unicycle with like 15 balls yeah. juggling. And it's like, we drop one, but then the news or community will throw another two to compensate for it. And we're always seeking like more difficulty in our lives. And yeah. like, how can we stretch ourselves to be more compassionate? And it's like, it's almost just like weaponized distraction. It's like, oh, like, don't you have a heart? Don't you care about what's happening in these other countries? And it's like, of course I do, but like, how am I best served to impact a holistic response or result or resolution to conflict? Mm-hmm. And it's like that conflict that's happening all the way across the world is like, is me like talking about it in Portland, Oregon with like a bunch of white people. And we're just like talking yeah. about, we're not even talking about solutions. Like we're just talking about like how bad it is.
Yep.
And we're just like feeding into like, yeah, it's a bad thing and highlighting that. But it's like, okay, what is like the easiest thing that you can do? And it's like, how do we transmute like the attention on the chaos to a solution?
Dude, I love the juggling metaphor. I feel like what the spot that we're at is people are taking like an aesthetic photo of these 15 balls they juggle and they go, I can juggle all these balls. And other people go, oh, I've got that one and I've got that same ball in my set too. And then the question is like, okay, let's see you juggle the balls. And then they throw them up in the air, they all fall down to the ground. Because back to what I said earlier, man, we only have so much capacity. There's only so many people in the world who can juggle like 19 chainsaws.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit's crazy. And that's really amazing. But it's like, maybe you can juggle three balls and you're really good at that and that's it. And that's amazing and that should be celebrated. And I think that we definitely live, and many people have said this, but the whole like, you know, everyone gets the participation trophy, and like that, maybe that pendulum has swung a little too far in one direction. But I also think that we should find gratitude for what, for ourselves and what we're able to accomplish in a day. And, you know, at the beginning of this conversation, you talked about the Wright brothers and you talked about like Monday's your restart, like you're taking the new plane up. Let's see if we can get like 20 feet rather than 15 feet this time. And there's an enormous amount to be grateful for in that opportunity to just try that out.
For sure.
And I think that finding validation in that gratitude is the tough part, because when you've got hundreds of millions of people waking up, billions of people waking up, popping on their phone, popping on social media, and looking at all the things that they aren't, it's pretty hard to get back to that voice inside of yourself, right? And I 100% struggle with that as a creative, as a man, as an individual in society. I think that I have a strong enough moral compass to like at least know where I want to be at. But those, all that extra input, dude, it's like, how do you parse through all that? How do you like make sure to like remain who you want to be amongst all of that? And it's super tricky. There's also this other complex layer to it, which is, you know, it's not necessarily a solution to just separate yourself from all of it, because then you're a hermit living in the middle of nowhere by yourself.
That sounds nice.
Which does sound darn nice, man. Some William Thoreau action. But yeah, it's like, how do we remain a part of the whole and all move the dial forward together?
Yeah, I think it's figuring out how we're best served to like best served to serve the collective. It's like, what is our unique, like if we're all an instrument, like what is our tenor? Like what is the instrument, like which notes are we playing to the symphony of life? And
but also maybe we don't all have to be unique,
right? Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Maybe there's like 22 violin fours, right? There's only one violin one.
Yeah.
But we've got a whole bunch of other folks who are holding down this part.
You know? Well, that just goes back to self-knowledge. It's like not everybody can be like Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah. Like all of us can't be like that. But being honest with ourselves and what our capacity is and not trying to take on too much and not judging ourselves for not taking on the responsibilities that we see other people taking on. And it's like, what's the basics? Like, let's just master the basics of our unique expression. I think like finding what that unique expression is, because like I used to try to like onboard like corporate America, like, I guess ethos, like into my thing. Like I'm a fucking artist. Why am I trying to like squeeze myself into this career box of like corporate America meetings and delegating about things that I can see that I saw like fucking 3 years ago. It's like, they're talking about shit that I've been seeing that, but it's like, y'all are like talking about this, like it's pressing right now. I'm just like, no, like I fucking worked that shit out like a long time ago. And I used to try to like force myself into these things. I was like over at my friend Daniel's house here in Dallas. And like, I just this morning, like I'm leaving today. And like, I was listening to him he was taking a call like with his clients and stuff, or with like his team. He was talking to his team about just like, he's like a loan officer for like one of the biggest mortgage like companies. And I will butcher everything the specifications and stuff, but just like, he found his like calling, like helping people like get like loans for homes and doing like all that like logistical shit. But it's like, that ain't me.
Yeah.
Like, and I used to try to like think that that's the measure of success. It's like, he found success for himself and has a beautiful home, a beautiful wife, and they're starting a family. And it's like, it doesn't all look the same. And once I gave up trying to like look like a certain way or be validated by like three stripes or this company or that company, and realized that my validation comes from myself, like every single day in my meditation, or didn't meditate today, so maybe we can get to that later.
Yeah.
But I think that's the driving force of at least like trying to create like a happy, healthy life and not being manipulated by every single thing and having to consider every single thing that crosses my perception. It's like, I don't have to like a fucking dog, like with a bone. It's like, tell them to leave it, like leave it. And then after a while it's like, actually, no, he still wants that bone.
Yeah.
But having a level of discipline and perspective as to like, I don't have to consider every single thing that comes across the screen.
Yeah, man. I thought of something that relates again to kind of our generation while you're talking about all that. We have like the lowest TFR, total fertility rate, in like the history of America, right? And I know a handful of people who I grew up with who had kids pretty early, and because they do have the means, they're raising their kids, and that's their focus, right? That's like the original human endeavor is procreation, right? We are biological organic creatures, and there's generations and thousands of years of passed along knowledge when it comes to rearing children and value that you get as an individual from that. And now we see a generation who are lacking in that. And that might also be contributing to all that we're talking about, is that I think that a lot of people biologically become who they're going to be when they have kids. Being a parent and fostering children and their development is a huge part of being a person. And I think that even prior to that comes the experience of developing a relationship into becoming interdependent with somebody else and learning through their eyes and vice versa. And, you know, those are things that I am completely fascinated by, because I haven't done those things. I've been super, super career focused, and it's been awesome. It's been a crazy decade. My 20s have been 150% career, and it's been really fun. And in a lot of ways, I've checked my boxes. But now, like, you know, entering this new decade, I think, oh, well, the thing that I haven't done is like found love or sought out love. I haven't developed a family. I haven't, you know, I have spent so little time around kids where genetic, biologically, someone my age should have by now, right? Now, granted, we are creatures that do evolve and we live in a very different era. And I don't think that I need to hold myself accountable to the standards of cavemen, but that's, I think, a yearning that's in all of us somewhere. And I think that a lot of that hollow feeling for a lot of people in our generation may be somewhat directly or indirectly related to the fact that we're not having, not only not having kids, but a lot of people are remaining single and having a really hard time finding that strong connection, which brings me back to the beginning of our friendship. I remember you were doing the speed dating thing.
Mm-hmm.
And which to me proves that you're on that same tip to some degree too, of like, what do we need to do as a species or even myself as an individual to try to find that connection? It's super freaking hard. Just the same way it is difficult to look in the mirror because we compare ourselves to so many things on social media. It's the same way in the way we regard relationships and intimacy and developing a family and raising a family and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like finding connection is in certain arenas, it's very easy. At least I've experienced it to be easy. Like meeting like new people is
sure.
Like very easy because it's like I'm curious. Like when we met, like we've just had like amazing conversation after conversation. Same with like Elliot, our good friend Elliot.
Shout out to Elliot.
Yeah, and Adam as well. He's a wonderful conversationalist and like in the areas, and I, one of the things I always go back to is just like intimacy. And I think for me, like learning that language and like where my traumas are and identifying like where my hangups are and like the fear of like having expectations placed upon me by another or like anything in that realm. I think it's just become, it comes from like the awareness and then throwing ourselves into situations that we're able to like engage with that tension that we kind of avoid in a lot of certain circumstances. And like finding ourselves in those moments where we have to like speak our truth, even though it's like uncomfortable and you might hurt someone's feelings or, or whatnot. Cause I grew up like kind of like denying what I knew to be true in order for like the validation,
to receive from other
people, from other people and whatnot, and like constantly like put it like shape shifting to be able to receive love. And if this person like doesn't see me anymore or doesn't want me anymore, I can't just like respect their opinion. Like I gotta play a game. I'm like, all right, now I gotta like get her back and all that kind of stuff. It's like, nah, bro, she don't like you, and it's cool, and it's completely cool. And it, and I think that just comes back to a self-love type of thing. It's like not loving oneself enough to know what's right and just to stay like in that place of loving self and valuing myself. And it's like, hey, just because this person that I deemed as important like doesn't look at me the same way, that's fine. Like that other person's out there. And I think it's putting ourselves in that arena to be hurt. And I don't think it's tough for me to even bring myself to that place of like, oh shit, like if I give up like my cards, then I'm vulnerable to being hurt. And that's just a part of the game. Like,
yeah.
I don't even call it a game, but just like a part of like loving others and allowing others to love you is leaving ourselves open once again, to that pain. Cause it's just a part of it. And we learn so much from like the pain that we experience.
100%. I mean, our discomfort is like proof of learning, right? I think that the tricky part, though, is I think that I find myself in a somewhat similar headspace as you in terms of what I'm seeking out regarding my own personal growth and awareness.
Yeah.
What is complicated is then if you are seeking a relationship or looking for connection, at some level, the other party also needs to be in the same boat.
Yeah.
Where they're also open to being hurt, open to learning, open to discomfort, trying to find out their greater purpose, you know, willing to be the half that creates a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that those are the, like coming across that is complicated.
Yeah.
That's the part where it's just like, oh man, what's this next date going to be like? And then like 5 minutes and you're like, all right, I got it.
Yeah. Well, I've found like recently, it's like to that point, there's always like one person that's willing and then the other person shut off.
Yeah.
And it just flip flops. But like rarely do you find both people that are willing to be open in that space. There's always one or the other or neither.
Sure.
Because like if I experience like somebody that's not in that space, it's hard for me to
be open
to that thing. So it's like, oh, well, I'm not being reciprocated, so I'm not going to be in that space. But then it's funny because then it's like you find somebody that's open and it's like fighting that urge to shut off, you know?
Yes. So here's a trippy sort of perspective on that stage of things that I've come to realize probably in the past 3 months, which is that where you water the grass grows, right? And like I said, the past decade has been purely career focused for me. It's so hard to separate the skills I've developed in my career from dating.
Mm.
And in my career being self-employed, I've gotten really good at handling and managing clients and speaking to them a certain way, conveying what I know a certain way, presenting, walking them through a creative process, you know, yada, yada, yada. So it's hard to like in a dating environment to not do that, to be like, all right, we've got this creative process and I want you to have a good time.
Yeah.
And then to find myself in that and be like, oh wait, I'm not having a good time.
Yeah.
This isn't my thing, you know? So, and when you're working, like so often as a young creative, like you're going after every project you can get. And I've done all sorts of weird shit. I've made math textbooks. I've done branding for tractor companies, like all across the board, right? And you have a good time because it's a transactional process. When you're seeking out deeper, stronger connection, it shouldn't be a transactional process.
Mm-hmm.
But the skills that I've developed are that way. So that's why I'm coming to this point in my life where I'm like, damn, I haven't really done that thing. My sister is the type of person who's always been in these long-term relationships. And I've always been like, yo, dude, like, what are you doing with your time? Like, get into your art more, like, you know, lean into that stuff, which you probably should. But she's gotten really good at being in relationships and like conveying love and communicating love when it's both good and bad. And I'm like, that's like, I'm like at a first grade reading level.
Oh, same here. Same here. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like putting ourselves in that, like, we got to keep like showing
up
to class. We got to keep showing up to class. And it's like, it's not like a quick fix. Like we can't, like other areas of life, it's like you move a couple things around, you meet the right person, you can like leapfrog from different stone across the river. And it's just like, I'm in a whole brand new experience. Yeah. I'm on set with this famous person. What the hell? That shit happened like that. But it's like intimacy and love is just like kind of like a turtle's pace. Like, especially if you like know what you're like looking for. And I think it also is just like a numbers game as well. It's like, yeah, you can be avoidant of certain things, but it's just like, yo, like if I feel like a resonant, like I'm a pretty open person, and it's like, I'm aware. It's like, if there's like a spark and a communication that's like dynamic that inspires me, it's like, I'm not going to just like completely just shut it down. It's like, that's like a version of me in the past, like operating out of lack. But I also feel like there's just like a, on the other side, like women like have these expectations that are kind of like being sold to them. It's a commodity at this time. And it's like, I know both of us are great, like amazing men. We're not perfect.
We don't,
we have
suck.
Things. Yeah.
We're
very rare, like breed of people. And it's like, I think in the past I wouldn't have said that about myself.
Sure.
Because I didn't see the beauty that I had inside of me. But now like I'm out in like this world and it's like, I know my worth now. To find someone else that knows their worth as well,
that's the hard part,
is a very difficult thing.
So here's another kind of complicated question, which is, back in the day, right, you meet someone and maybe they check two of the 70 billion boxes and you're like, that's enough for me because I live in a town of 10,000 people and there's no such thing as social media. And this is like, I got to work for this and I got to make this work. Is there beauty in that limitation? And is there something damaging about the ability to have as much variety as we do now?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Like, I think it goes back to the juggling analogy. It's like this person checks your boxes, but now it's like, I don't fuck with boxes anymore. Yeah. you just make up like a whole new standard.
You're definitely from Portland, dude.
You're just like, oh, I changed. Like, I just changed my
triangles
now. Yeah, we only do boxes. Yeah, but we like move the goalposts. We're constantly moving the goalposts, and then it's like we want people to be more than they actually are, and like, oh, you got to do this now. And
yeah,
I think I've over the last couple of years, I think I've kind of stripped away like some of those unreasonable expectations that I have on other people. And
yes.
Like, oh, like you got to know this and that. And you got to, I've learned that I appreciate women who have like their own interests. Like if they're passionate about something, because I don't want to be the focus of I don't want this relationship. Like this, the only thing that you think about, like, I want you to be like, into those other things, and I can kind of like walk over and be like, oh, like, what are you doing?
Damn,
over
look
here?
At your world.
Yeah, this is sick. Like, look at this like collection that you have over here, like your plants or this or that, like things that you resonate with that we can participate in together. Cause like, I have my things that I'm interested in that will bring me away and so we can move away from being like suffocated by each other.
And it's then
like,
you come back.
I love like autonomy. Cause like we're saying, it's like being like a very independent person that needs like their space, but then to give each other space to miss each other is something that I feel is important. And if you don't have like, even just in general, it's like, if you don't have interests, like if you're like, you don't do art, you don't make music, you don't do this, you don't do that. I was like, what the fuck do you do then? Like when people like don't have hobbies and shit, like I'm like, yo, like what do you do? Like
tossing sympathy out on Instagram.
Yeah, seriously. it's a market. It's like everyone's out there doing it, but it's like, yo, like go build something.
Totally, man. Yeah, and I've also, I mean, totally on the same board of what you're saying, man. Like opening myself up to other people's interests and being able to appreciate it enough to get drawn in. Because sometimes I'm like, dude, I just don't give a shit about that. But then I'm like, who knows what could come from me just being interested and supportive, because that is what it's all about, you know? And yeah, I think that the whole like you said, it's a numbers game. The older we get, our gaze does narrow in a lot of ways when the windows of opportunity also narrow, which is tricky. But I also think like, yeah, just being open is important. And I mean, for me, moving from Portland to Dallas, like super important, because it's a totally different like social structure out here.
Yeah. This is like actually femininity in
Dallas. And and it's been interesting comparing and contrasting for sure. But at the end of the day, man, like I think that it comes down to the simple things, man. Like maybe the simple things that the caveman experienced from each other is like, it's just another body to keep you warm and to like pick you up when you're down and to help you out when you're sick and to lift some of the bags when you're grocery shopping, so you don't drop half of them when you're not quite at the fridge yet. You know, like I think that relationships are both the most complex and simple thing ever. And I think that we're both plagued by being relatively complex individuals, and that's why we don't have six-year-olds right now. which I remember at some point in my life, I was like, dude, I want to be a young parent so that way when they're like 21, you know, I'm still raging with them. And now I'm like, oh, okay, well, that ship is technically kind of sailed at this point, so now I'm just going to have to be the guy who bestows wisdom, so I better get some good wisdom.
I'd rather like do that. Well, that's the thing, is that's why like going to the gym and all that, like staying healthy for like the longevity, so I can like lift my kids, because like I'm still decoding just relationships in general before I get to that point. But I feel like we're not starved. Like 5 years ago, like girls that I wanted didn't want me, and now they're like coming back around, and it's like, oh my god, like look at Aaron, he's doing his own thing. So I feel like we're getting, like as we age, like we're gonna get more and more
fine
options.
Wine, baby.
Yeah, no, especially like if we have a purpose, if you have a purpose, and, and you're constantly bettering yourself, like the world is gonna open up, and we're definitely gonna find the people that make life fun.
Yes. I also think that the top, I mean, this could probably be a whole nother conversation that could last a week, but the topic of love is so interesting to me. And I think that understanding that love comes from so many places in your life is such an incredible thing to wake up to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a type of love that comes from your parents, from your siblings, from different kinds of love across your friends, a certain kind of love in the relationship that you aspire towards or already have, a love from your pets, your plants, your hobbies, your interests, like all these things. And I also would describe love as both a thing that rewards you and can take away. It can hurt you. Love can really fucking hurt you. And understanding that spectrum of it being both above and below the x-axis, I think, is also an important thing to come across. And I guess that one of the beauties of being at the place in my life and being single still is I've been able to learn that in a whole lot of different arenas rather than just it being siloed into a dating environment.
Sure.
You know, so I feel like I've come to understand the depth of love in ways that to me are really valuable for me. And yeah, man, I'm open to sharing that. So any of you ladies listening, you've got two dope ass dudes ready and available. We'll drop our handles at the end. No, just kidding.
We definitely will drop our handles. And ladies, Dylan's a looker.
Okay.
but going on like the love thing, it's like I learned how to love, like one of my biggest teachers was my dog. Loving on my dog. And then like since he passed, it's like I realized, like, oh my god, like this dude taught me how to love. And like you're saying, it's like you can speak to your plants with love. It's like
Daniel does.
Yeah, I know, for sure. Most definitely. But it's like I think if we identify ourselves as love and that we're exuding it into the world,
yeah,
and it's not something that we have to obtain outside of us. Oh, I'm gonna go to the store and I'm gonna get 3 pounds of love. It's like, yeah. No, it's like I am love, and anytime I engage with life, with people, with objects,
that's love.
Appreciation, gratitude, yeah. Like that's love. Like I'm loving like this space that we're in, like I'm loving, like in having gratitude for like the roof over our heads and the water in the cup, and how, like, can we piece apart life in that way and just seeing that like love is a part of everything.
Yeah.
But I think that it makes it easier to love one another. It makes it easier to find love in people that we don't agree with. And it's like, oh, like I've been in that place before, or I think that's where like the empathy comes from. At some point.
Well, I love that, and I love you for saying that, brother.
Yeah.
That's some powerful stuff. And then here's another perspective. You love the water in that glass. I'm out of water, but I love that I can get more water.
Yeah.
You know? You know,
true.
That's like that's how it works.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you in the absence of the thing that you love, you have to still love the fact that it can come back around.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. You can let go. Like loving is letting go as well. It's like I love you so much that I gotta kick you out of my life.
Sure. Yeah.
Or I love myself enough that we have to not continue this relationship and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we can do this conversation all day, every day, but we're coming down on time. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our beautiful listeners before we wrap?
Man, I'm just so grateful that we were able to make this happen, man. And like, seriously, brother, I love you. It's been a wild few years since we've crossed paths.
Yeah.
And our paths haven't crossed like that frequently, but it is always interesting when you do cross a path with a person and you're like, we're going to keep crossing, you know? And again, like I've been so inspired by watching your creation over the years, the creation and destruction that you have been involved in to get to where you're at today. It's powerful to have people in your life that you can observe and connect with that keep you going, you know, that keep you going down that stream. So yeah, man, I'm stoked that we were able to have this conversation and spend time together. This conversation obviously will be shared with other people, but for me to be able to have it with you has been super good, man. I really appreciate it.
Dude, thank you so much. And I think it's just so wild that like like you just moved to Portland, like we connected, and then I was like, you're on my like list of people to talk to.
Right on.
And it's like, oh, like you're in Dallas, I'm in Dallas, like a couple of months after you moved out of Portland, and I'm so glad that it was here, because this is like on the journey that like I have intended. It's like, oh, being out in the world and like connecting with those lights. So
for sure,
yeah, man. Thank you so much for this time. And where can people find you on the interwebs?
Dylan Santos Green on Instagram. I try to put creative projects on there, also featuring photos of my family and my cat because I love them. Or dylansgreen.com, or I guess also greenandbarrett.com. I'm a creative director and graphic designer, as you know, and I like working on essentially any project that comes my way. Nothing is too small or too big. But yeah, check me out if you want to talk more about love.
Ladies.
But yeah, dude, thanks for having me. And seriously, like to what you just said, like being able to like go to a location, like that is the dream.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like
this is it.
This is all the coolest, I care about.
This is all I care about.
And yeah, like I think it was Thursday or Friday and you're like, I think I hit you up because you posted something, or you hit me up and you're like, are we both in Dallas?
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, I'm here now. And yeah, talking about what Dallas is and isn't is also a whole nother conversation, but Dallas rocks, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm so grateful for it.
Dope. Well, thank you, Dylan, and thank you all for listening to Opening Presents.